Y'all just pray with me, brethren. Please, Lord Jesus Christ, living, resurrected, ascended, exalted, sitting on the throne of the universe, conquering, conquered already, almighty, triumphing, Lord of glory, captain of the host of Israel. We believe in thee, Lord. We believe that the Lord liveth. Blessed be our rock, and let the God of our salvation be exalted. Pray today you would visit us, Lord. Pray today that you'd stir us up, our pure minds, by way of remembrance. That we'd remember what you did. We'd remember especially and particularly who you are, where you are, the power that you have right now, that nothing is too hard for thee. Thou art Almighty God. Thou hast all power in heaven and earth, and thou hast given us a commission based upon that power, that ascension, that exaltation. No man, Lord, can speak of these things. I ask, Lord, for the assistance of Christ. No man can hear these things. I ask for the assistance of Christ again, for the brethren to hear, for everybody else that's here. Give all sin, Lord. Wash us all in your blood, and let the word of God have recourse this day. Let it be unbounded, Lord God, the seals. Let them come off, O God, risen, resurrected, Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for a miracle, an undeserved favor and respect that you'd have at this assembly today. That this would not be a waste of time. This would not be, Lord God, as a man speaking to men, but as Christ speaking through a man to men in Christ. Pray, Lord, that you would put a fight, put a renewed zeal, vehement desire, passion in some fainting saints, in some of those that are growing weary in the way of truth, blessed way that thou hast paved before us, thou hast called us to walk in, yea, and empowered us to walk in as we cleave to thee with purpose of heart and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Please, Lord, help me not, Lord God, hinder thy message, thy burden you desire to vent, thy people, this assembly. O God, have mercy. We pray and ask for your holy throne boldly by the blood of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Y'all could sing with me. I'd like to open up with a hymn built upon probably around a third of my sermon. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. 418, please. And I'll open up and I'll share with y'all the title of the sermon, what I'm trying to get at today. I ask with a question, which is the title of the first section, will you go? Will you go? Question mark. The ascension, the commission, and your duty. Will you go? The ascension, the commission, referring to the Great Commission, and your duty, Christian. Your duty, human being. First section, titled, Will You Go? I'd like to renew your mind to the vigilance, the intensity, the earnestness, the resolution, the steadfastness of faith a man must have to make it to heaven. And I'd like you to ask yourself, are you seeking God right in light of that? Are you seeking God with the whole heart? Do you have any chance to possibly believe in light of what I'm going to preach to you on seeking God and fighting the fight of faith in the first section that you are going? Will you go? Will you have any chance to stand before the Word of God? Do you have any hope in the world when I preach on what it looks like to seek God with all your heart and nobody else makes it to heaven? And I assure you that's true in the Word of God I'm going to try to show you. Are you seeking God with that much intensity, brethren, saints, sinners, whoever you be? Children, we got to deal with the Holy God. We You got to deal with the Bible. Are you asleep? Are you taking it easy? Have ease in Zion? Are you lukewarm? Are you wholeheartedly following God? Do you have any hope? Is there any hope that you can make it to heaven? Or does something need to change? And if it does, brethren, let it change. If it does, sinner, let it change. Change to the Word of God. Build your life to the Word of God. Build your life. Establish your ways upon the rock of ages. It will not change. If this book condemns you right now, it will condemn you when you die and you stand before God in a moment of time. In the twinkling of an eye, it will. If it condemns you right now, this standard, this book, you are in trouble. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Doesn't matter what the world says. The world is passing away. What shall profit a man against the whole world forfeit his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's passing away. It's gone. It's fleeting mist, shadow. It's gone. It's gone. It's over. Prepare to meet thy Maker. Will you go? The ascension, the commission, and your duty. Your duty. Your duty, Christian. To God and the people of God. The first verse, particularly, I'd like to take note of as we sing this. Please consider, encamped along the hills of light, the Christian soldiers rise. And press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurt. Let all our strength be thrust. Faith is a victory, we know, that overcomes the world. We're going to talk about faith biblically and what it looks like practically speaking within time in your life. And if you're measuring up, if you are really truly walking by faith, and justified by faith alone, through grace alone, that looks a certain particular way. It looks like Christ.
Encamped along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be heard. In this a victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind spread, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand a foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about, the earth shall tremble neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Shall be given before the angel. those he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of life, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name.
Amen.
Faith is a victory.
Please do, brother, consider the standard of New Testament Christianity, Old Testament Christianity, any kind of Christianity, any kind of true worship of God in spirit and in truth, and the earnestness that you must have in this business. If you're going to run this race, all right, if you're going to make it to God's heaven, if you're going to stand on the other side of this world, yonder out there in eternity before the God of judgment, and not be ashamed. Pilgrim's Progress, the House of the Interpreter, the type of violent, persistent, wholehearted, earnest, single-minded, reckless abandon seeking you must have to be the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. I saw also that the Interpreter took him again by the hand and led him into a pleasant place, where was built a stately palace, beautiful to behold, at the sight of which Christian was greatly delighted. He saw also upon the top thereof, the top of this stately, beautiful palace type of heaven, certain persons walking, which were clothed in gold. Then said Christian to the Interpreter, "May we go in thither?" The Interpreter took him and led him up toward the door to get into the palace, to get into heaven, the door to heaven, this parabolical language of the way of truth, the way to heaven. And behold, at the door stood a great company of men as desirous to go in, but they durst not. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to meet the terms, the condition to make it there. Will you go? Will you go? Have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Not vanity, not a figment of your imagination, not a myth. A living, resurrected Lord on the throne of the universe. He says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in light of all the truths of the gospel, all the truths of all time, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren." Learn from the Apostle Paul. This man was dignified in the Spirit. This man was noble before holy angels and in heaven's eyes. But this man knew how to kick and scream and crawl and fight and strive and run with an earnest, reckless abandon and zeal to go after God. He didn't care what people thought. He tried to be stoned to death, to be spit upon, but he will not go back on the life he has. He will not slow down. Because he wants a crown. And that's the cross, brethren. Denying yourself, wholeheartedly taking up your cross, your loss, your distress, your pain, your shame, despising it, and running the race. How do you inherit it? The door of the palace. They were there, and behold, at the door stood a great company of men as desirous to go in, but durst not. There also sat a man at a little distance from the door at a table side with a book and his inkhorn before him to take the name of him that should enter therein, enter to heaven, the door to heaven. He saw also that in the doorway stood many men in armor to keep it. In the doorway to heaven, there's many men in armor keeping the way so that it's not so easy. That's why everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody durst go in. Many men armed to keep the doorway to heaven. Christian saw this in the Word of God. It's being interpreted by the Interpreter. Now, they were keeping the door, being resolved to do to the men that would enter what hurt and mischief they could. The devil, all the powers of hell, though this world with devils filled, should threaten to undo us, and it will. If you obey God, your conscience, in truth, and worship, in spirit, and truth, and wholeheartedly give yourself to God without condition, period, not dot, 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 all the powers of hell come against you in the most unlikely source of Job's life. Curse God, not. There's no other way to heaven. Now was Christian somewhat in a maze. He was in a maze. He was confounded, shocked. At last, when every man started back for fear of the armed men, every man started back. They're all just afraid. They're all checking themselves, hesitant, doubting. As every man started back for fear of the armed man, the wicked fleeing when no man pursueth, Christian saw a man of a very stout countenance come up to the man that sat there to write. Come up to the man that was keeping the signatures, the signs, the book of life, to write, saying, "Set down my name, sir." The which, when he had done, his name was written there. He decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. He saw the man draw his sword. This man that wants to go to heaven. He drew his sword and put a helmet on his head, a helmet of salvation, and rushed towards the door upon the armed men who laid upon him with deadly force. The men keeping the door on the way to heaven laid upon him with deadly force. But the man, not at all discouraged, fell to cutting and hacking most fiercely. Well, after he had received and given many wounds to those that attempted to keep him out, he cut his way through them all and pressed forward. He pressed forward into the palace, at which there was a pleasant voice heard from those that were within, even of those that walked upon the top of that palace, saying, "Come in! Come in! Eternal glory thou shalt win." So he went in and was clothed with such garments as they. Then Christian smiled and said, "I think, verily, I know the meaning of this." Did you get that yet? In all of our preaching, in all of our example that we've set for this church, being elders, we ought to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "Be followers of us as we follow Christ." In all that you've seen in my life, in Sean's life, in Jake's life, and those in this church that are walking soundly saved before God, that you can think and believe they're on the way to heaven, have you seen that? Did you get that yet? Everything else will take care of itself. If that is your steadfastness of mind, if that is your wholeheartedness, if that is your resolution, otherwise thou wilt faint in the day of adversity because thy strength is weak. You're not believing in God, you're not believing the gospel, and you're not resolute as you ought to be. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Are you movable? Can you be moved? Are you leaning in with all that you've got? Are you on your back heel? Are you movable? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Watch ye. Quit you like men. Stand pat. Be strong. Play the man. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. But by the grace of God, I am, Paul says what I am, but His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than the rest. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Put on the whole armor of God. Are you striving, brethren, to enter in at the straight gate still? Are you still working out your salvation with fear and trembling still? Are you wholeheartedly following God like Joshua and Caleb? Give me that mountain! Give me that mountain! Get me in that palace! This is the way of truth. This is faith. This is your reasonable service. This is walking as Christ. If any man say he abideth in him, he ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, a burning sacrifice, holy unto the Lord, holy to the Father. He always did those things that pleased Him. The Father hath not left Him alone. He gave all that He had, every thought, every moment, every waking second of the day. He thought about one thing, every single moment and breath and thing that He did, the will of God. the will of God, fighting a good fight, finishing his course, keeping the faith, that henceforth there would be laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give him at that day, and all that love is appearing. And if you love his appearing, then you don't love this world, you love that world, and you look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God our Savior Jesus Christ, and you're seeking him. Look for him. Are you looking for him? Where are your eyes at? Shall he appear the second time without sin or salvation? Or brethren, you are lukewarm. Be ye sure of this. Your sin will find you out. One day you will be plucked up by the root and you will be cast into a fire. Speaking the truth. I'm speaking reasonability. I'm speaking sense. This is the Bible. This is the way of truth. This is God's will. This is why he died, that men would lay down their lives for the cause of Christ, not play Christianity. Ephesians chapter 6, Apostle Paul was not fluffy, he was not light, he was not a vain man. Apostle Paul, yes, he was a man of knowledge. Apostle Paul, yes, he was a man of zeal. Apostle Paul, yes, he was a man of great oratory ability when God came upon him, and he so spake that many believed on him, the Lord, through him. Apostle Paul is a fighter. That's an aspect, a characteristic of Christ. Jesus Christ was a man of war. David was a man of war after God's own heart. Apostle Paul was a man of war. Are you a fighter? Are you a little child? Are you fighting? A good fight of faith. Are you laid hold upon eternal life and you will not let it go? You will not back up. You will not turn around. You will not be pushed back by all the powers of hell. And though he slay you, though Satan slay you and God lets him slay you, as Job, all of his family was slain, as he almost got Job was set to do the will of God. Christianity, not churchianity. Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus. You seeking God aright. When thou set seeking my face, my heart said unto me, a man after God's own heart. This is the heart of God in David. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early. Early. First thing, for anything and all things, all the time, will find me. Have you learned that? The man is not laying down his life for Christ. He is not following Christ. You got another Jesus? You're not going to make it to heaven. Not this God's heaven. Not the God of the Bible. Not the God of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 6. Brethren, put on the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, or you won't stand, or you are on the ground getting killed, about to be thrust into hell. You're not standing before God. You're not going to heaven. You don't have the blood. You're in trouble with the Lord. Be ye sure. Your sin will find you out, brethren. Prepare to meet thy Maker in judgment. He'll not meet you as a man. He's going to meet you as the Lord of glory, a holy God. He's going to judge the quick and the dead as appearing in his kingdom. And you can't play in that day because all things are naked and open to God's hand with whom we got to do. You can't play, brethren. You can't play. The Lord is not messing around. He slaughtered his son, the Father did. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When he shall see the prevail of his soul, he shall be satisfied. And he was. And he's not going to be satisfied after he crushed his son that you might have a chance not to go on to hell where you deserve to go, and so do I. He's not going to be satisfied if you're taking it easy. You have no hope. You are in trouble with the Lord. There is a court that's higher than the courts of this earth. The highest court is going to get you. The Bible condemns you. put on the whole armor of God. Having done all, you may be able to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, of a good conscience for God and men, of obeying and walking in what's right in His eyes, not what's right in our own eyes, of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Are you panting? 2 Corinthians 7. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you! What clearing of yourselves! What vehement desire! What indignation, what fear, what zeal! In all these things you've approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. You're clear! You're right, it's okay. The Lord has no controversy with you. If you have vehement desire, if you're panting for righteousness, obedience. Father, my soul is troubled, the Lord said. What shall I say? Save me from this hour? But for this hour came I unto this hour, Father, glorify thy name. Is that the heart of your soul? That's the heart of a soul that's abandoned all things for the glory of another man, Jesus Christ, the God-man. Psalm 40, verse 16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. O God, Psalm 63, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. What are you meditating on in the night watches, brethren? Murmuring how bad things are, how hard things is. For God, for Jesus, for the Lord of glory, the blood, the ascended, resurrected King on the throne of the universe right now, and all the holy angels bowing down before this King, whose eyes are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. Then why aren't you crying? Why has not the zeal of his house eaten you up? If he was in you of a truth, if he was being formed in you, if he was rightly being related in you as he ought to be by the gospel of salvation, you would have a zeal eating you alive for his glory. You'd be glorifying as God, you'd be thankful, and God wouldn't be giving you up to your own foolish lust. And that's why you're overcome by sin. The greatest evidence that God is angry with the wicked, with the Christian, is that he's being given over to sin, his enemies. He's sleeping too long. He's eating too much. He does not have a burden to pray. He has no burden for souls. There's no more tears in his eyes over the glory of this God whom he's delighting himself in. He's not loving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, neighbor, himself. His heart is in the world. Where's your heart? Keep it with all diligence, for out of the dishes of life, the seat of affections. Where's your heart? The desire of a man is his kindness. Where's your desire? Where's your longing? Are you right with God? Soul saved, soul winners. You got to win your own soul first. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run! Is that your life? Is that written upon the forehead of your life? I'm running after the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower of the righteous. Runneth into it is safe. For they do it
to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one to be feared, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that when I have preached to others by any means, I myself should be cast away, reprobate. And they were cast in the lake of fire, whosoever's name was not written in the book of life. Cast in the lake of fire. Are you still fleeing from the wrath to come into the arms of a loving Father? Are you still running the race into the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower? Are you still in the fear of God, wearing a strong covenant, and having the place of refuge? I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Will you run? This is the way to heaven. Joshua was running, brethren. Caleb was running. They're ready to be stoned to death. They're ready to die. Anybody else that made it to heaven, they were running scared, as Rolf Barnum would say it. Are you running scared? Scared of your sin. Scared of this God. His eyes are a flame of fire. His face exceeds the brightness of the sun. And you don't want to play on that day. If you've heard the thunder, that's just a little type, a minuscule type picture of what it's going to be like on the day of judgment. You think that's powerful. You think that's terrifying. You think that's awesome. Wait until judgment day. Just around the corner, brethren. For this nation. It scares me. For many that are not fighting. It's fine. J.C. Ryle, the saddest symptom about many so-called Christians is the utter absence of anything like conflict and fight in their Christianity. They eat, they drink, they dress, they work, they amuse themselves, they get money, they spend money, they go through a scanty round of formal religious services once and twice every week. But of the great spiritual warfare, it's watchings and strugglings, its agonies and anxieties, its battles and contests. Of all this, they appear to know nothing at all. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Entangle not yourself with the things of this life, that you may please Him who hath called you to be a soldier. My soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and what I fear, to own His cause. Will you go? Reader, are you worshiping the God of the Bible? Or a figment of your imagination? Is there a fight in your Christianity? And is there a fear? Or are you just, quote, playing church? Know ye not that God is holy, just, and bound to punish such folly? Let us, friends, learn to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, lest we see the error of our way in hell. For our God is still a consuming fire. Rolf Barnard says, and this has made me tremble, the sixth issue, MoFak translates Romans 11:29, God never goes back on His call. The King James says, quote, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Said he likes MoFak's translation. I don't agree with him there. I like the King James translation. He never does. There are several things wrapped up in this. I'll just mention them and I'll quit. Believers are going to persevere in holiness because that is what they were chosen for. They were chosen in Him that they might be holy. I disagree that believers within time will always stay persevering in holiness. Eternally elect believers without time for God's sovereign perspective will within time. Judas Iscariot was saved. So was Saul. They're in hell. And he goes on. Believers, he said, are going to be conformed to the image of Christ. But they must be conformed to the image of Christ. I've studied the Puritans, Rolf Barnard says. And I've studied John Calvin. And I've studied everybody I could get books on or borrow from. I differ with the Puritans. I differ from Brother Calvin. I believe the warnings in the book of Hebrews are not the people who almost got saved but didn't. I wish I could believe when he talks about people have tasted and have been illuminated, tasted the power. They didn't get almost saved. I believe they got saved. Now, if you're going to throw me out, I believe that the New Testament salvation calls for you to spit on your hands and roll up your sleeves and see to it that these terrible warnings never take place in your life. That's what I believe. You say, quote, Brother Barnard, what are you going to do? Tear up our Baptist doctrine of eternal security of the believer? I don't know what to do about it. But I'm going to look you in the face, tell you now, that the Scriptures talk about crucifying afresh the Son of God, and He's talking to God's people. It talks about putting Him to an open shame, and it's talking to saved people. Careful, brethren. Serve God acceptably with fear. You call on the Father without respect of persons. Judge it according to every man's word past the time of your pilgrimage. Sojourning here in fear, because you've been bought with the blood of Christ. And nothing less. Rolf says, and I used an expression one time that liked to shock me. I believe that hell is hot on your trail tonight. I believe the devil gets you if he can. I believe that God's people better quit getting their doctrine out of books, and they better face the fact that salvation isn't something that you can put in a tin can. It's a daily relationship. And if there ever was a generation of church people this side of eternity that needs to be shocked out of this damnable carnal idea that the security of the believer is to live like the devil and go to heaven when you die. No. Oh no. Our forefathers thought they needed what they call the means of grace. There is a cocksureness today that is going to fill hell full of church members if we don't watch out. I don't know how to handle those passages in Hebrews. They just scare the living daylights out of me. If we sin willfully, that's talking to Christian people. How shall we escape if we treat lightly so great salvation? That's talking to Christian people. You say, Brother Barnard, you trying to scare us into doing right? The book of Hebrews will, if you will read it. It dead sure will. Oh, it is impossible to renew them to repentance. That scares me. That scares me. It scares me too. I assure you, brethren, before God, if you don't put your armor on, if you don't pick up your cross, both hands, if you don't seek God with all that in you is to the day you die and be faithful unto death, you're going to feel. You're going to wind up in the lake of fire. You're going to be burning before long. So am I. I tell you the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. Are you a resolute, steadfast-minded, wholehearted, serious, realistic, earnest fight? If you're not, brethren, God has not saved anybody else. Unless y'all set your face and wake up from your slumber, brethren, you got no chance. Forget about it. Go on back home. You're not going to make it. Just get out of here. You're going to have a greater judgment. Truly, I'm telling you the truth. You don't go after God, and your sin will go after you. And if you're not killing sin with all that in you is every single day, right now, today, sin will be killing you. There's no such thing as a halfway Christian. There's no such thing as an innocent bystander in this war. There's no such thing as a sixth man on the bench. You're in this thing, you're in the battle, you're in the hottest part of the battle, and you're pursuing Abner like Asahel was, and you turn not to the right hand or left, and you're fleeing to the mountain. And you're not looking back. When you look back in that plain, watch out. A pyroclastic flow is going to wipe you out, and you're going to be a pillar of salt before the morning. I agree with Barnard. I believe that hell is hot on your heels. And the devil will get you if he can. And if you look back, if you set your hand to this plow and you look back, he will get you. And you'll have a long eternity, very gloomy, blackness of darkness, fearful, troublesome, cruel, ruthless, slaughterhouse, burning fire in the flame of hell, eternity with the devil and all the wicked of all times, and you're not going to meet Rolf Barnard. You're not going to meet me by the grace of God. And you're not going to meet Sean and Jake. You're not going to see us anymore. Because I'm going through with God. I've already set my face years ago. I'm going through with God. If I have to die, if I have to get killed, if I have to get tormented 1,000 times, though it hurts and though I don't even want to think about it, because I don't do well with pain. I'm going to go till I can't go any longer, till there's no more kick left, there's no more scream left, I have no more voice left, till I can't see out of my eyes, and my body is decaying in the ground. I'm going through with God, till I'm on the ground bleeding to death in a pool of blood. For my faith, I will not deny the Lord by His grace. And if you have any less steadfastness than me, that is not abnormal, that is not unique, that is the only man that will make it to heaven if such an one. If you didn't get that out of me and Jake and Sean, you're not going to make it to heaven with us. I will not see you in eternity. You're going to be on the other side of the gulf. It's going to be fixed and you're going to be in hell. Are you sure of that? Can't say it more forwardly, more straightly. I can't be more honest with you than that. Whosoever you be, if you're not seeking God with all your heart, it's not an option. There is no other way. I'm not going to love my skin more than my conscience unto death by the grace of God with all that in me is. And if you have any less resolution, don't expect to be in the palace of glory with these men in fine linen in the golden streets for eternity. Don't expect to rule and reign with Christ. Don't expect to overcome the world because you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Bible. You have head knowledge. You know nothing. This is the first principle of Christianity. Brethren, unless you go all out, unless you train, unless you endure hardness, not a chance in the world. There is not a chance that we will see a revival. Brethren, we might not see any more souls saved unless we get this, unless you get steadfastly minded once in your life. Put all your strength, thrust yourself upon this battle. This is Christ. If we would trust Christ, this is what Satan would say. He could not defeat the early Christian church. The Word of God could not be bounded, could not be stopped up. They could not be defeated. Jesus Christ is a man of war, a lion that turneth not aside for any. He is the strongest among beasts. The lion, the tribe of Judah. And yes, the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Yes, he's a lion. Not when the devil is facing Christ, he's not a lion. Coward. We will take ground. We will march on. Church, militant. We have soldiers in our ranks. If we were seeking God aright, not only would we be saved ourselves, we'd see other people get saved. 2 Samuel 17, the heart of Jesus Christ, the man of war, this characteristic of who the Lord is. Are you a fighter? Is Christ being formed in you? Are you steadfast? Are you valiant for the truth? If you trust Christ, you will be. You won't make it to heaven. Nobody else is making it in. No cowards, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned to the people. All the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well. And all the elders of Israel, this man is saying, if I can smite David, then all the others are going to follow suit. Then their hearts are going to melt. And all the Israel, this civil war will be over with. Absalom, you will be on the throne. David is the heart. David is the champion. He is the captain of the host of Israel. And I'm going to show you the heart of who David was. And I'm going to show you how David was thought of in Israel. He was a man of war. Saul has slain his thousands. And it is accurate to say that David has slain his 10,000 because he trusted in God. He was a man of God's own heart. And he was a bloody man. He was a fighter. Brethren, Absalom was a politician. False Christians are flatterers. Jesus Christ is a fighter. He's serious. He's a wrestler. He will wrestle with all the powers of hell. And he will pin the devil himself if we look to him. We'd look to him and be life from the dead. We'd look to him, we'd see salvation. We would see multitudes brought to the kingdom, swept into the kingdom. We could not be defeated because he can't be defeated. He's never been stopped in battle. Ever. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. He wants another counsel. Is there another vision? Is there anything else to be said? Is this truly the way to go quickly upon him with 12,000 men and wipe out David? He's running from Absalom. Absalom has usurped the throne of his father. He's betrayed him. He's won the hearts of Israel. They've turned their back on their old king. He's an old lion. David. They counted him out and thought it was over. Strength. Past the days of his strength. He's too old. He can't fight. And his young son took advantage of him through his political skills, his scheming, his trickery, his subtlety of Satan, as the devil thought he had done to Jesus. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, they be chafed in their minds, and as a bear robbed of her whelp in the field, and thy father is a man of war. Thy father is a man of war, Absalom, and will not lodge with the people. He will not. He'll be in a cave. He'll be fighting in guerrilla warfare. Verse 9, behold, he is hid now in some pit, or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of your men, Absalom, be overthrown at the first, and whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man. And they which be with him are valiant men. They fear David. How about Jesus Christ? How about the God of David? Will you go? Will you enlist in the ranks? Christ's army? Church militant? Are you ready to march on? Are you marching to an uncertain beat? Are you pressing into the kingdom? From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I heard a quote today. Circumstances don't make the man, they reveal him. When a Christian is tried, if he's trusting in Christ, he'll come forth as gold. The trials will make him shine forth the glory of God. He will fight and kick and scream and crawl and go through all those armed men keeping the door, and he will make it to that palace, and the Lord will say, and all the holy angels will say, come in, eternal glory, thou shalt win. Yeah. You're not set to fight. You're not fighting a good fight of faith. You're not a fighter like Apostle Paul. Peter's a fighter too, you better believe it. Every single man that ever made it to heaven was a fighter. He'll get on the wrestling mat. He'll kick, he'll scream, he'll crawl. He will do whatever it takes. He's going on to the glory. Are you? Will you go? The ascension, the commission, and your duty. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast, in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, fighting, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God, for unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw to see to be in me, and now here to be in me. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Watch ye. Adam Clark says, you have many enemies. Be continually on your guard. Be always circumspect. Number one, watch against evil. Number two, watch for opportunities to receive good. Number three, watch for opportunities to do good. Number four, watch over each other in love. Number five, watch that none may draw you aside from the belief and the unity of the gospel. Don't fall asleep like the camp of Saul. When David came upon them, that mighty man, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, and they came, and the whole camp was asleep, and Abner was asleep, and they stole his javelin. They got his javelin, they picked it up, and they put it in the ground, and they stole his pillow, and they got out of there unscathed, and he was asleep, and he could have slaughtered the anointed of God. And Abishai said, give me one shot at him, I will not strike again. You won't need to strike again. He's been trained by David. David's meant to fight. You're not falling asleep on the battlefield. If you fall asleep and you're a watchman for the United States of America, back in the day, it was death. I don't know what it is now. You don't fall asleep in this battle, or you will be found out. You will be overcome. Disarmed man will come upon you when you're not looking for him. The devil. Stand fast in the faith. Hold in conscientious credence what you have already received as the truth of God. For it is the gospel by which ye shall be saved, and by which ye are now put into a state of salvation. Quit you like men. Be not like children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Let your understanding receive the truth. Let your judgment determine on the absolute necessity of retaining it. And give up life. Give up life rather than give up the testimony of God. Be strong. Put forth all the vigor and energy which God has given you in maintaining and propagating the truth, and your spiritual strength will increase by usage. The terms in this verse are all military. Watch ye, watch, and be continually on your guard, lest you be surprised by your enemies. Keep your scouts out and all your sentinels at their posts, lest your enemies steal a march upon you. See that the place you are in is properly defended, and that each be alert to perform his duty. Stand fast in faith. Keep in your ranks, brethren. Do not be disorderly. Be determined to keep your ranks unbroken. Keep close together. On your unity, your preservation depends. If your enemies succeed in breaking your ranks and dividing one part of the sacred army from another, your rout will be inevitable. Judges, chapter 7. And they stood every man in their place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. Stay together, brethren. Like a school of fish, if you get divided from the school of fish, you watch out for the barracuda, watch out for the shark, watch out for the predators coming in, you will be devoured by the devil. You are in enemy territory. You are in trouble. You are vulnerable. There is no armor for your back as long as you're fighting and cutting those armed men guarding the gates of heaven, and you're pushing forth and you're pressing into the kingdom. You have safety. And when you turn back, you're going to be stuck by the fiery dart of the wicked one. You've got to keep your shield up every day and your armor on. Stand fast in the faith. Quit yourselves like men. When you are attacked, do not flinch. Maintain your ground. Resist. Press forward. Strike home. Keep your compact. Conquer. Conquer. Be strong. One company or division be opposed by too great a force of the enemy. Strengthen that division. And maintain your position. If an attack is to be made on any part of the entrenchment of the foe, summon up all your courage. Sustain each other. Fear not, for fear will enervate you. Fear will weaken you. Your cause is good. It is the faith, the religion of Jesus Christ. He is your captain in the field. And should you ever die in the contest, the victory is yours. If you're fighting, if you're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're having an abundant entry into the kingdom of heaven because you're going on with God, the victory is yours. Will you go, brethren? Will you fight this fight? Will you follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul? I pray the footsteps of your elders and pastors. Or will you go home also? Will you go away? Will you be a man after God's own heart, a man of war, a man as David was? Will you get in the trenches with your brethren, fight? Or will you back down? I'll close this section, if I may. The story of Ehud in Judges, chapter 3. Verse 12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. And he gathered unto him, verse 13, the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger. Have you made a dagger? Have you found out five choice stones to slay at the head of the Goliath? When Goliath is defying and affronting and provoking you to your face as David, cursing David by his gods, belittling David, despising David, what did he do? He set his eyes upon Goliath, his stones, his choice stones, and he went right at him. Was he afraid? Was he hesitant? Was he double-minded? Did he back down? Did he sidestep? Did he run? Did the Gentiles run away? Did he flee? Did Jesus Christ flee in the Garden of Gethsemane and Peter and John are falling asleep and everybody else is falling asleep? Arise. He is at hand about Petraeus, sweating drops of blood. He will not give place to the devil. David went right at the Goliath. Jonathan and his armor bearers went right at the army of the Philistines. The Lord hath given them in our hands. They were single-minded. They were wholehearted. Their face was flint to do the will of God. They will not judge by circumstances. They will not be afraid for the roaring of the devil and all of his lying, deceit, trying to make you afraid and fear, paralyze the man that you can't fight this battle. Square up, brethren. Don't sidestep. Square up and face. Fight, face the foe, and thrust all your effort against the devil. Ehud made a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length, about the size of my arm, tip of my finger to my elbow, and he did gird it about in his raiment upon his right thigh. He was left-handed. And he brought a present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. When he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. And now he himself endured hardness. He turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and he said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king. There was much danger. He could have easily been slaughtered. There are many men guarding this man, a mighty man, the king of Israel at that time, the king of Moab, a very harsh ruler of that day. Ehud made ground upon him with the weapon that he had prepared for this purpose, without fear, not fear in the face of man. Said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. God fought for him, Ehud. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. And Ehud, like lightning, not hesitating to wax bold in the fight, Ehud slew this man, took the sword out of his right side. Ehud put forth his left hand, took the dagger from the right thigh, and thrust it into his belly, and the shaft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. If he would have missed at that time, he probably would have been overcome and destroyed by Eglon. Eglon was mightier, was bigger. Huge man would have overcome in a moment. Struck one time. There was no room for missing an error. Double-mindedness at that time. He had to go. He had to fight. And Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, and they said, surely he covered his feet in the summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And they opened the door, and he was fallen down on the earth, and Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Siroth. And it came to pass when he was come, that he blew a trumpet. Blowing a trumpet was for gathering the people together, and blowing a trumpet was also at times for war, and sometimes for both, in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them, and he said unto them, follow after me. He's already been fighting. He's already waxed out in the fight. Out of weakness, he was already made strong. He's already put down the head of the serpent, like Jesus Christ did, the captain of the host of Israel. He went in the promised land first. The captain did, and he said, Joshua, follow after me. You're on holy ground. And he did. And brethren, make sure that you're not as the men of Ephraim in Psalm 78. Remember the works of God, that you might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Pray you wouldn't be as these men, children of Ephraim. Their names are not in the book of life anymore. Revelation chapter 7 takes out the tribe of Ephraim. It's gone. They betrayed the Lord. They turned back in the day of battle. And that signifies all such Christians that apostatize in that way. Who will go? Will you go? The ascension, the commission, and your duty.